Welcome to Noracast Tech Briefing. I'm your host, and today we are looking at a really fascinating philosophical question about the software industry. Are we forgetting how to code in the exact same way the West forgot how to manufacture physical goods?
It is a provocative comparison, especially when you look at the actual data on developer productivity with AI tools. The numbers might really surprise you. We will also be talking about a major breakthrough in mathematics, where an amateur essentially talked an AI into solving a 60-year-old problem.
Yeah, the phrase vibe mathing is about to enter your vocabulary. Plus, we will look at China's massive pivot to turn vehicles into self-reasoning AI machines, and what that means for the global auto industry.
It is a packed show today. Let's get right into it.
So let's start with this piece from Tech Trenches. The headline alone is a gut punch. The West forgot how to make things, now it is forgetting how to code. It is arguing that we are facing a talent pipeline collapse in software engineering.
Right. And to back this up, the author points to a recent randomized controlled trial by METR. They took experienced developers and had them use AI coding tools on real-world open-source tasks. The developers predicted the AI would make them 24% faster.
But the actual result was the exact opposite. They took 19% longer to complete the tasks.
19% longer? That is a massive gap between perception and reality. It turns out that generating code is fast, but debugging AI-generated slop in a complex codebase actually takes more time than just writing it yourself.
And this is where the article draws a really brilliant historical parallel to the U.S. defense industry. Back in 2023, the government tried to restart production of Stinger missiles, but they found out they couldn't just spin up a factory and hit print.
Exactly. They literally had to pull retired engineers out of retirement to teach the younger workers how to build them. The blueprints existed, but the tacit knowledge, the hands-on institutional memory of how the parts actually fit together, that was completely gone.
The author is arguing that software engineering is walking right into that exact same competence trap. By using AI to replace junior developers, companies are saving money today, but they are destroying the only mechanism we have for creating senior developers tomorrow.
Because if you never write the boilerplate and you never struggle through the fundamental logic bugs early in your career, you never build the deep mental models required to maintain complex systems. You end up with what the author calls AI-mediated competence. You can build a system, but you do not actually understand it.
Which works fine when things are running smoothly. But fast forward 10 years, when a massive AI-generated microservices architecture goes down at 3 a.m., if the humans in the loop only know how to prompt an AI, and the AI cannot find the bug, who actually fixes the system?
That is the scary part. It is prioritizing short-term financial optimization over the long-term development of human expertise. It is the exact same mistake the manufacturing sector made in the 90s, just ported over to software.
Moving on to something completely different, but equally mind-bending. An amateur armed with ChatGPT just solved an Erdos problem. And I do not mean a minor one. I mean Erdos problem number 1196, which has sat unsolved for 60 years.
This is wild. For context, Paul Erdos was this legendary, incredibly prolific mathematician who left behind hundreds of unsolved problems. They're basically the ultimate benchmarks for human mathematical genius. Mathematicians spend their entire careers chipping away at these.
Right. Enter Liam Price, who is 23 years old and has no advanced math background, and Kevin Barreto, who is an undergraduate. They used ChatGPT 5.4 Pro to solve it, and the method they used is being affectionately called vibe mathing.
Vibe mathing. I love it. So instead of following rigorous step-by-step academic proofs, they essentially prompted the AI to approach the problem without standard mathematical frameworks. They just kept iterating and exploring weird angles with the model.
And the AI ended up utilizing Markov chains and von Mangold weights to get the solution. These are techniques that had previously never been used for this specific problem. which is exactly why human mathematicians had been stuck for six decades. Terence Tao, who is a Fields medalist and basically the smartest mathematician alive, pointed out that the AI bypassed the standard path. Human researchers are constrained by their traditional academic training. They all try to walk down the same logical hallway.
Yeah. Jared Lichtman is another mathematician who had actually studied this specific problem for 7 years. He described this result as the first AI math achievement to reach the level of the book. And the book is a concept Erdos had for the most elegant possible mathematical proofs imaginable.
It really makes you wonder how many other intractable problems in science and math are only intractable because human experts have blind spots. If you don't know the rules, you do not know what you're not supposed to do.
The challenge now is for the mathematical community. How do you verify and credit an AI-generated proof that starts out incredibly messy and requires an expert to come in after the fact to formalize what the AI and the amateur actually discovered?
For our final deep dive, let's look at what is happening in China's automotive sector. Autoblog has a fascinating piece on how China wants cars to literally become AI on wheels and how it is reshaping the entire industry.
This is a core part of their latest five-year plan, specifically what they are calling their AI Plus strategy. They are trying to integrate artificial intelligence across all manufacturing sectors, but automotive is really the tip of the spear.
And the scale of the capital being deployed is staggering. Huawei just announced they are planning to invest over $10 billion over the next 5 years, specifically to boost computing power for smart driving systems.
$10 billion is massive. It reflects a fundamental shift in how these companies view themselves. Stephen Ma, the chief of Nissan Motor China, actually went on record saying there is no longer a distinction between a technology company and a car company.
Which is exactly what Tesla has been saying for years. But now the entire Chinese domestic market is adopting that philosophy at hyperspeed. François Roudet, the Secretary General of the International Organization of Motor Vehicle Manufacturers, called this a revolution, not just a transition.
You can see it in the products. Chinese automakers like XPeng and Xiaomi are introducing AI systems that allow vehicles to perform incredibly complex tasks. We're talking about navigating dynamic city streets without relying on high-definition maps, or managing your personal to-do list while you drive.
But there is a massive geopolitical angle here, too. This strategic shift is designed to accelerate innovation, but it is also explicitly about reducing China's reliance on foreign high-end semiconductors. They want domestic chips running domestic AI models.
Right. And that is the open question. Advanced autonomous driving requires immense compute. Can domestic Chinese chips and software realistically replace the performance of advanced foreign semiconductors from companies like NVIDIA in these high-stakes, safety-critical applications?
If they can, it completely rewrites the global supply chain for the automotive industry. It is not just about who builds the best battery anymore, it is about who builds the best self-reasoning machine.
All right. Let's hit a few more stories real quick before we wrap up.
Sounds good. What do we have first?
A1. Elon Musk went on the Moonshots with Peter Diamandis podcast and claimed that people should not worry about saving for retirement in 10 to 20 years because AI and robotics will create a world of abundance. He argues the cost of goods will drop so much that we will have a universal high income.
It is a wildly optimistic take on post-scarcity economics. Telling people to stop saving for retirement based on speculative tech timelines seems pretty irresponsible, especially since we have zero proof that the gains from AI productivity will be equitably distributed by governments rather than just hoarded by corporations.
Researchers at the University of Chicago are developing tools like Nightshade and Glaze that let artists poison their work with subtle pixel perturbations. Scholars at Monash University are now arguing this deliberate degradation of AI training data is a valid form of civil disobedience against companies ignoring copyright.
It is fascinating because it only takes about 250 poisoned documents to compromise an AI model's output. But it does raise questions about collateral damage. If we start poisoning the well of data the entire internet relies on, we might end up breaking systems that the public actually needs.
A new study in JAMA Network Open tested 21 frontier large language models on realistic patient symptoms. The results were brutal. Failure rates exceeded 80% for ambiguous cases and 40% for straightforward ones, largely because LLMs cannot perform differential diagnosis.
And yet, a recent survey found that 66 million American adults are already using AI chatbots for health advice, sometimes skipping human doctors entirely. It is a massive collision between Silicon Valley's move-fast culture and the medical field's strict requirement for actual clinical validation.
The Asahi Linux project, which is reverse engineering Apple Silicon to run native Linux, just dropped a major progress report alongside the Linux 7.0 kernel. They released version 0.8.0 of their installer, the first major update in 2 years, adding Mac Pro support and a firmware update mode.
They're also making huge strides on the M3 chip, with new patches for PCIe and NVMe controllers. Plus, they managed to squeeze out another half-watt reduction in idle power consumption on M1 Pro MacBooks. It is just incredible what this team is accomplishing without any official documentation from Apple.
Finally, over on GitHub, there is a popular feature request for Anthropic's new agentic CLI tool, Claude Code. Developers are asking for a simple usage flag so they can check their real-time API token consumption directly from the terminal without having to log into the web console.
It makes total sense. When you give an AI agent the ability to autonomously edit files and run Git workflows, it can burn through API credits incredibly fast. Third-party developers are already building extensions to track this, but it really needs to be a native feature to help people manage their billing.
And that is all the time we have for today's episode.
Thanks for listening to NoraCast Tech Briefing. Be sure to check the show notes for links to all the stories we covered today.
We will catch you in the next one. Stay curious.